Begin the current daf, Masechta Bava Basra, daf Yud Beis. Begin 6 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues in the related discussion of the previous daf. That is, we were discussing in our Mishnayis regarding the division of a Chatzar, dividing of a Chatzar, which besides the actual division, then there was another halacha that we said that each entryway, each house gets Dalet Amos in the Chatzar. So too, every Chatzar has Dalet Amos in the Mavui. We spoke about if he's allowed to block that area off. Now, on that, the Gemara had brought a brisa that said that if, let's say, one chatzar that usually opened up into one mavi wanted to then switch because he was between two mavis and opened up to another one, that mavi could be ma'akvnilav, they could stop him from opening up. So that's how Gemara continues in the related discussion regarding the rights that mavi and other members have regarding opening and closing of areas of entryways into places. So Amar Rabbi Bebechan Amar Biyechanan says, Mavois hamufalashis li'ir acheres, regarding mavois, which are basically streets that are closed off on one side, but they're open up to the Rishutz Rabbim. Now, this street, this mavoi, again, which is really the street that's used only by these courtyards, generally, that opens up that street into the main street, their mavoi actually opens up into the road going towards another city. Now, Ubikshu B'nei Ha'ir, now the members of the city where the mavoi was part of, they wanted to l'saisman, they wanted to now close up that mavoi from the back part, where that is closed off like a regular mav, which should close up on three sides, only that the mav opens up into the main street. They didn't want that the back part of it should be still be open, which was that other city used to come through that mav into that city. They wanted to close it off. Says Rabbi Yechidon, B'nei Oysa Ha'ir, the members of that other city, are ma'akfin alehen, they could stop that city which has the mav from closing off that mavi and now not allowing them to take any more that shorter route through that mavi to that Rishos Rabbim. And the reason for that is because they already are muchzik, they already had taken possession of taking a shortcut through that mavi. Now they can't just go ahead and close it off anymore. Now, explains the Gemara even more. We don't have to tell you that they could stop them from closing it off. If there's no other way for them to get to that city, then for sure they could stop them because they really had taken possession as a rabbin of using this mavi to get into that city. But the chiddush is, even if there is another way, but since this was a shorter way that they had been using for many years, even so they're allowed to stop that city from blocking off that mavi. As the Gemara explains, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Merav, because of this halacha of Yehuda Merav, the Amad that he said, Meitzar Shechziku B'Rab, regarding a boundary, regarding a road that the public has already taken possession of using this, Asa L'Kalkalai, one is not allowed to ruin it anymore. K'Rav Gidl, like Rav Gidl said, Rav Gidl, Rabim Shebaru Derech La'asman, regarding the public that they've chosen the path for themselves, Masha Barubar, what they have chosen, in other words, since this has been a path for many years, although seemingly you would think that this city could decide what they want to do with their side streets, with their mavi, and they could close it off, they're not allowed to, because since the other city, which is a rabbin, has been using this for a long time, you can't just close them off, they could stop them from closing it off. Similar halacha. Amrav Anna Omer Shmuel. Muvayis ha-mufalashon l'rishus ha-rabbin. Regarding a mavi that's flush, that's open to the public domain on one side, Ubikshu b'nei mavois lahamid lent losses. Now the members of the mavi wanted to put up walls, they wanted to put up doors, meaning because their mavi, which is their private street, they have their houses open to their courtyards open up into this mavi, and then they would take this mavi, their private street, they would go into the public thoroughfare. They wanted to put doors at the entrance of their mavi to keep the people in the Rishos Rabbim out. Says the Gemara, B'nei Rishos Rabbim Ma'akfin Alein, the people of the public domain, meaning the street, can stop them. Now the reason for that is because when it gets very tight and pressured in the Rishos Rabbim, many people from the main street, they to lessen the congestion, they would go further out onto the side streets, into the Mavois. So therefore, you can't put doors on to lock the people of the street out. Now, Sav Mina, those who were saying over this halacha thought, that this halach of Shmuel was only within 4 amas of the top part of the mavi, which is near the Rishos Rabbim, that the people of the Rishos Rabbim could stop them from putting up doors. And the reason for that is Kedrib Zerim Rav Nachman, because the Amr Zerim Rav Nachman, he said the Dalet Amas Asmuchas L'Rishos Rabbim, the 4 amas of a side street, meaning of a mavi, which is near the public domain, is K'Rishos Rabbim Damin, has the same halacha as Rishos Rabbim, which is regards to the doubtful tumah in Rishos Rabbim. There's a different halacha of a doubtful tumah regarding Rishos Hayachid and Rishos Rabbim. Savik tumah Rishos Hayachid is tameh, and savik tumah Rishos Rabbim is going to be tar. So on that, Reb Nachman had said that with and for Amos of the Shosh Ram is like the Shosh Ram itself. So they thought that this is the same halacha, that you can't put up doors within Dalet Amos of the Shosh Ram. And that says the Gemara Velohi. It's not so. Because even if they want to put up doors from within Dalet Amos, even so the people in the Shosh Ram could stop them. And the reason for that is because Hasam Lenya Tuma, that halacha of Reb Zera, was Tuma the halachas of Tuma. There, the halachas of Safek Tuma will only be within Dalet Amos. We view it as part of the Shosh Ram. Aval Hacha, but over here, regards to locking out the people of Shosh Ram from coming into the Mavoi, Zimna Didachki B'nei Rishos Ram B'ayla Tuba. Sometimes it gets very congested in the public domain and people need to expand and go onto the side streets and they're going to go into the Mavoi more than Dalet Amos. So therefore, that's a right that they already have been maxing more than Dalet Amos. Therefore, you can put up doors anywhere in the Mavoi to block out the people of Rishos Ram. Now the Gemara continues to explain the Halacha of our Mishnah, which we said to specific measurements of a, where we had been speaking about a chatzer, where you can't have less than a certain amount to force the other partner to divide it. So let's say two houses share a common courtyard, and one of them says, you know what, I don't want to share this with you anymore, I want to split it. If there's going to be at least four, or as we explained, eight amish that each one's going to have after the division, then you could force the other partner to divide. So the Mishnah went on and said, V'lo yasasad, so too you can force the other partner to divide a field that you own in partnership. Until each one will have an area where he could plant nine kavan of seed, then you could force the other one to divide. Chulu, etc., because it talks about Rabbi Huda's opinion, who said that no, even if there's enough of nine, half a kavan. And that says the Gemara of Olay Pligin, actually they're not disagreeing. Maraki Asri, Maraki Asri, each one was going according to his location, how much was the minimum that a person would have a field, whether it be nine kavan or nine half a kavan, as Tais explains from the Rivam. From the Ribar Mordechai, that in the place of Rav Yehuda, land was very chashav and was very good. So therefore it was worth it to put the effort into a field, even to get nine half a kavan. But in the place of Tanakama, wasn't such great land to go ahead and put in the effort unless you could get an area where you could plant nine kavan. Even though it won't be an area where you could use for plowing for one day, as we'll see shortly, which is the significance by Bavel, but still was fit. It was worth it to put in the effort because of the land. But now the Gemara asks, but Bavel not. But regarding Bavel, where the land is not so good at all, and therefore it's not fit to have it split up to, for the measurements of the cases of our Mishnah, whether it be nine kavan or nine half a kavan. So how do we qualify is going to be enough to divide the field between the two partners that one could force the other one to divide? And then Rav Yisvi says, Beiradu Yaima. If there's enough after the division of the field that each one can plow it for an entire day, and the other one will also have that, then that's significant enough to go ahead and have it divided, so that when he's renting an ox, and it can plow the entire day, that's enough of a field to be divided. So the Gemara says, my radu yema, says, what is this plowing of a day? Because actually there were two different times when they would plow. They would plow at the end of the reaping season, which is when they would call the plowing season, and then they would plow again by the planting season. So which plowing are we talking about to make it viable to go ahead and have your own field where as long as if I could have an ox plowing an entire day, not a half because then it's not worth it, I'm renting for the whole day, and not to have more than that because then I'm not going to have enough for 2 days, which day are we talking about? As the Gemara explains, Iyei Mezara, if it's talking about that if you could have at least an amount of a field that would require plowing for 1 day during the planting season, which then it's easier to plow because it had already been plowed at the time of the plowing season, which was at the end of the previous season. The difficulty is, okay, fine. So then it's viable, it makes sense that you should have your own field because it'll do be an entire day of plowing by the planting season. But the problem is it's not going to be 2 days of plowing by the plowing season. In other words, by the plowing season, how are you going to rent oxen over there? There's not enough plowing for 2 days worth of plowing. But the problem is, it's still going to take more than the plowing season when you do by the plowing by the planting season. And if by the planting it takes 1 day, then probably by the plowing it's going to be like a day and a half. So then you're going to run into problems. It's not going to be worthwhile anymore because you're going to be having renting for a full 2 days because 1 day is not enough, but you're not going to be using it for 2 days. So it's not viable. And E.M. McCarvin, if the qualification of Rav Yisrael was talking about regarding the plowing season, that as long as there's enough to plow for one full day over there, then yeme dezara lehava. Then the difficulty is, then how are you going to rent oxen at the time of the planting season? You only need it for a few hours, so it's not going to be worth your while to go ahead and rent oxen for a full day, which was rented by the day. So how do we resolve the difficulty where it's only worth it if you could use a full day of plowing, but which day? Either one, you're going to run into the challenges regarding the plowing of the plowing season or the plowing of the planting season. So that Gemara says, actually, you could say either one. If you want, you could say that the day that Rabbi Yehuda was saying that if you have enough to plow for a day, then that's enough to split it in bavel. It's talking about the day of when it's plowed at the end of the previous season. Now, the question we had asked was, then you're not going to have a full day of plowing in the planting season. And that Gemara explains, no, it's talking about in the place, the Karav Vitani, where at the time of the planting, they would plow and plow a second time, because they would plow once before the planting, which that makes sense to soften it for the planting. And then they would actually plow one more time after the planting so that the ground could cover over the seeds. So therefore then, since you have to do it twice, that will equal the one plowing of the plowing season. So it will be for a full day of plowing even during the planting season. And if you want, you could say it's actually talking about Yemid Dizara. The day was talking about the day of plowing by the planting season. Now, the question then was, but then you're not going to have enough for full 2 days of plowing in the plowing season. And then that's the Gemara, we're talking about Bahadure, talking about a place where the land was very hard, full of rocks and mountainous, where there, it's actually very difficult the first time around plowing in the plowing season, where in the day of the planting, it's going to be 1 day that in the day of the plowing will actually turn into a full 2 days. And therefore, it's going to be equal. You're not going to have any discrepancies where it's not going to be worth your while of renting oxen because you'll have a full 1 day by the planting season and a full 2 days by the plowing season. Continues the Gemara on these halachas regarding the minimum requirements to divide items that one partner could force the other one. Says the Gemara, Davla, if they have together a pit, which a well, from there that they would use to water the fields. So Rav Nachman, he says, what's the minimum requirement that you could force the other partner to divide? Is beidolu yayma, until there is going to be enough that a person could use that well, what he's getting from it, to water a field for the amount of a worker using according to a day. Now the reason for that is because you're paying your worker to water the field anyway. So if you're paying him for the whole day, if there's enough for the, now after the division, to water the field an entire day, that's enough worthwhile of splitting it, that would be the minimum requirement. Pardesa, regarding dividing a vineyard, Amar Avuhu d'Shmuel, the father Shmuel said, Bashleish is kavan. If after the division, each one will have an area of 3 kavan, which kavan is according to the calculation of sasayim, which are 2 saw, like the chatza mishkan, which that produces sasayim, which has a certain amount of measurements, which that makes 3 kavan into 1,250 amis, that's the amount that can have 3 kavan of grapes. Tanya Hoch is similar in the Braisa, that's the minimum requirement of giving someone an area in a vineyard. If someone tells his friend, a portion in the vineyard I'm going to sell to you, so some chasayimer lo yifchis megum kavan, you can't give him less than 3 kavan. Now, Amar Biyisi said, regards to this halacha, ein elu ela divrei nevi'im. This is only words of prophecy. In other words, there's no reasoning. Prophecy is, that's what Hashem said. And here, it seemingly, there's no logic to say why the minimum requirement by a vineyard would be 3 kavan to divide. But the Gemara asked, bebevel mai. So that's in Eretz Yisrael. What regards to bevel is the minimum requirement of a vineyard, of dividing that each one should have? Amar Rabbi Bar Kisna, he says, telas atziyasa, 3 rows, that each row has b'nei treisa gufni. Each row has 12 vines. That's the minimum requirement for each one should have after the division. And the reason for that is, kihichid rafik gavar b'yema, that's the amount that a person should hoe and be plowing in 1 day. So again, that makes it worthwhile to have a worker to do that amount of work per day. That's the minimum a person has to have in the division of a vineyard. Now, parenthetically, once the Gemara mentioned before where Rabbi Yisi had said regarding the halacha of sumchas, that he said that ein elu ela divrei nevi'im, that these are only words of prophecy, where he called the words of a chacham as prophecy. So therefore the Gemara mentions this halach over here. The Amr of Dimi de Menchefa, Miyem Shechar Beis HaMikdash, from the day that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Nitla Nevu'im and Nevi'im, prophecy was taken away from the prophets, the Nitla Chama was given to the wise men. So the Gemara asks, Atu Chacham Lav Navihi, what do you mean? You think a wise man's not a prophet? In other words, is a chacham not fit to be a prophet that you're saying that it was taken away from the prophets and was given to the chacham, which sounds like that before there was no prophets that were chachamim? So that the Gemara says, no chacham, what he was saying was, afa pisha nitla min hanaviyim, that although prophecy was taken away from the prophets that are not chachamim, Min ha-chacham le-nitla. But from the wise men, their prophecy was not taken away. Now, moreover, Omar Meime says, v'chacham adif minavi, that actually a wise man is actually better than the prophet. Because Shnem, it says in the Pasuk in Tehillim, that minavi, that a prophet, levav chacham has a heart of wisdom. Now, min nitla b'mi, who do you make dependent on the other one? When you're trying to compare something to something else, have a oimer cut in nitla b'gadla, you're saying the small thing, you're comparing it to the greater thing. That, wow, that he has that. And that is bigger. So we see that the prophet, we're saying that he has the heart of wisdom. Obviously, wisdom is greater than the prophet. The chacham is adav than a navi. Now, Amar Abaya, Abaya says, Teda, you should know, which we mentioned before, that prophecy was not taken away from chacham, from tamid chacham, from wise men. Because the Amar Gavar Rabbi Milsa, because you could have a great man say something, and it could be said from to someone totally else, the same idea. Now, how are two people thinking of the great insight where they're totally independent? Obviously, it's because it's a prophecy that Hashem is sending those messages through these wise men, and as we see that it's really a prophecy. Now, on that, Amar Rava, Rava asks on this interpretation of Abayu, my kushu, why is that so difficult that you're proving that must be that a chacham has nevuah? But dima tavai ben echad mazlin, and maybe this should both of them have the same mazl, which mazl is the hashpoy, is the emanations that Hashem sends through the world to, through certain people. If they have the same mazl, then they can have the same insights, and therefore what's so great that even though he lives there and he lives there, and at the same time they have the same chiddush, that, well, how does that prove that they have prophecy? Elam Rava, rather what Rava says, Teda, you should know that it is true, that the Chacham had prophecy, because the Amar Gavar Rabbi Milsa, because you could have a great person say something, and it will be said over, as we continue to Amad Beis, Mishmedi Rebbe Kiva Bar Yosef Kavaseh, and it will be said over in the name of Rebbe Kiva, like him. Now, that you can't say that Tamar Chacham has the same mazla as Rebbe Kiva, because no one is as great as a Chacham as Rebbe Kiva. And therefore, if this person was Mechavan, had the same insight as the great Rebbe Kiva, must be it's a prophecy, because he, on his own, he wouldn't be able to have had that amazing insight. Now, on that interpretation of Rava, Rav Ashi asks, "My kushya, why is that so difficult? How does that prove it's a prophecy?" Maybe for this insight, he has the same mazel. It's not black and white. It's not all or nothing. The same mazel, and then you're the same person. For this insight, he has the same mazel, which is the same, which is lashon of noizel of that the way it flows down, the way it flowed down to the world. He had the same mazel as Rebbe Kiva. It doesn't mean it's as great as him, but he could have the same insight. How does it prove that it means that there's prophecy? So Elam Rav Ashi, rather Rav Ashi says, Teda, the way you should know that a chacham has prophecy is the Amar Gavar Rabbi Milsa, because you could have a great person say something, and then it's said that actually there's a halacha, that there's a tradition from Moshe with that same idea. Now that, a person is not having the mazel telling him, it must be a prophecy, because this is something that he would not have thought of on his own. It must be that it's a prophecy that is being mechaven, that is intending for the same idea as the halacha l'Moshe Mesina. Now on that, the Gemara still asks, V'dilma kasuma baruba, maybe it's like a blind person in the skylight. Meaning where he could just fall in. Maybe this guy just fell into what's called the Einfall, which is falling in. He had the same idea, but it just fell in. How do you know that it's a prophecy? So that the Gemara says no, because for Lav Tam Yohav, doesn't this Tamar Chacham give a reasoning for his insight? Now, since he gives a reason, that's not like a blind person who just by mistake falls in, who's trying to get to the skylight and falls in by mistake. Rather, it's because it's the logic of his heart. Where does he have that inspiration, that insight, which has a precision to it? That must be, it came to him through prophecy, and he merited that he should have the same idea as the halacha Moshe Mesinai. Must be that is a nevuah. So to Omer Abiyechanan says, Miyem shechar beis hamikdash, from the day that the temple was destroyed, nitlu nevuim and anavim. So prophecy was taken away from the prophets, the last ones, the Anshe Knesset Gedola, that was by the times of the Churban beis hamikdash. Venitlu l'shoytim l'tinaikis, and it was given over to the mentally deranged and to infants and to children. As the Gemara says, l'shoytim mahi, what's an incident that illustrates that the mentally deranged have nevuah? Kihod de ma'bar avashi, like there was such an incident with ma'bar avashi. That he was in the marketplace of the main street of Mechuzah. Shamelahu shaytu de kama. So he overheard a mentally deranged person that was saying, Reish mesiftu de malach, that the head of the yeshiva who they're now appointing, but Masa Mechasi, in this place Masa Mechasi, in other words, that this person is going to ultimately be the Rosh Yeshiva, that now, Tavyemi Chasim. He signs his name, when he's signing in the letter, he signs his name Tavyemi. Now, Amar, when Rav Ravashi overheard this from the mentally deranged person, he said, Man chasim tavyemi b'rabban. Who from rabbis signed their name tavyemi? Ano, I signed my name like that. Shema meina ledidi kamili shaita. Obviously, that for me right now, I have a good mazel. It's my moment now to become the Rosh Hashiva. So come, Asi got up and he went to Masa Mechasya to go ahead and become the Rosh Hashiva. Adasa, by the time he got there, Ibn Rabbanan lo isvila Rav Acha medifti bereisha. So the rabbis already had decided to appoint Rav Acha from Difti to be the head of the yeshiva, the Rosh Hashiva. Kivin the Shami da Asa, but once they heard that Mam Rav Ashi was coming, so Shadu Zugad Rabban Lagabe. So they sent a pair of rabbis to Mam Rav Ashi, Lim Luchibe, to consult with him, to take counsel and take permission to appoint Rav Acha as the Rosh Hashiva. Now Ikve, he held those pair of rabbis by him. He didn't let them go back to the assembly that had sent them to him. So they sent him another pair of rabbis to go ahead and, we didn't get the answer from that other pair regarding appointing Rav Acha. Ikvagabe, he kept that pair also by him. Ad-demolu be'asar, until they had finally sent five pairs, he already had 10 people by him. Kivin demolu be'asar, once he had 10 rabbis by him, pasachu v'tana v'darsha, he opened up and he started teaching and lecturing and he gave a drasha, and by default through that he became the Rosh Hashiva. Now the reason why he waited for 10 people was lefisha in peischem mekala pachas masar, because you don't open up in the drasha of the kala, which is a certain type of lecture, less than 10 people. Now kari Rav Acha nafshi, when Rav Acha heard about this, he said regarding himself, kalam ariyin lo, anyone that they do bad to him, loy b'meher mitim lo, it's not going to be quick that they're going to do good to him. In other words, once I was rejected and I didn't get a chance to become the Rosh Hashiva, it's not going to be a quick while by the time I'm going to get such an opportunity to become Rosh Hashiva again. And b'chal mativan loy, and whoever they do good to him, libe meher merin loy, it's not quick that they're going to do bad to him. So again, we see that this was a nevuah prophecy by the shaita in the street, in the marketplace, that had said a prophecy that Mam Rav Ashi was going to be the Rosh Hashiva. Tanaki Zmai, asked the Gemara, where do we find a young girl being saying a prophecy? Ki had the bas Rav Chizda, like it was with the daughter of Rav Chizda. She was sitting in our father's lap. Now, sitting in front of Rav Chizda were his students, Rava and Rami Bar Chama. So, Amallah, so her father said to her, to his little daughter on his lap, Man menayu bayis, which one of these two do you want? So, Amalei, she said to him, Tarvayu, I want both, Tati. Now, Amar Rava, when Rava heard this, he was one of those two sitting in front, he said, Vano basa, but I want to be the last one. And actually, that's what happened, where the daughter of Chizda married first Rami Bachamam, and he passed away, and then she married Rava afterwards. And that's again a prophecy from a little child. Now another teaching from Amr of Avdimi de Ben Chayfa, who we mentioned before regarding that prophecy moved from the Nevi'im to the Chachamim, is Kaidim Sheyechel Adam Midishta. Before a person eats and drinks, Yesh Lo Shtei Levavis. So he has two hearts, meaning he's not settled emotionally. He has as if he has more than one heart. But after that he eats and drinks, he only has one heart, he's very clear in what and focused. Shemak, it says in Pasuk in Iyuv, Ish Navuv, a man that is hollow, meaning without a full stomach, Yilavev will have many hearts. In other words, that he's not able to make a conclusion fully with a full mind, with a clear mind, because he's dysregulated because he hasn't eaten yet. Now, Chsiv, and we could prove this idea that Navav means hollow, from a pasuk in Shemais, where it talks about the Mizbeach, it says Navuv Luchais, that it should be made out of boards that are Navuv. Or Metagamina, and then the Targum translates, what that means is Chalil Luchin, hollow boards. So you see that Navuv means hollow, and that's what the pasuk is saying, that a person that's hollow, that's hungry, that is not a full stomach, is going to be loved if have many hearts. He's not going to be clear in what he really wants. Now, that same word of Navuv, Amr of Hunna Barid Rav Yeshua, says, Haragal Bayayin, if someone's accustomed to drinking wine, Afila Libu Atim Kibesuli, even if his heart is closed like a virgin, totally closed, Yain Mefakri, still wine wears him down, it opens him up a little bit. Shemak says, the Pasuk in Zechariah Vetirish, and wine, Yinaiviv Besulis. In other words, that a heart that's closed like a virgin, it makes him open and hollow, it opens him up, it makes him easier to engage. Now the Gemara goes back to the topic that we're discussing regarding the division of a field, of a courtyard. So Amar Rav Huna Barid Rav Yeshua, he says, Pshita, it's obvious. Chelik b'char v'chelik pashut. When there's brothers that are dividing a field, that if there's two portions that a firstborn gets, he gets one portion, which is a double portion that he gets because of his being the firstborn, and he gets his regular portion that like older brothers get, like one of the brothers. So it's obvious, says the Gemara, that Yavin le'achad metzra, that he gets these two portions in one boundary, meaning one right next to the other, because they're really one portion, because it's like one thing. Although he gets like a double portion, if there's five brothers, they make six portions and he gets an extra portion, but since that's his one portion as the firstborn, he gets them in one grouping. Now, but the Gemara's question is, but regarding a Yavam, if one of the brothers died without any children, so the mitzvah of Yibum, that one of his other brothers has to marry his brother's almana, the wife without any children. Now, moreover, he actually takes his brother's place for the inheritance. So he takes two portions, takes his own portion of the inheritance and his brother's portion of the inheritance. And that the Gemara asks, my, what's the halacha? Could the other brothers tell him, look, it's not your own portion. You're coming to take our departed brother's portion. So therefore, we're not going to give it to you in one boundary, one next to the other, unless if you're going to compensate us, the rest of the brothers, for the higher value that this field is worth. Because it's not really yours, you're taking our brothers. So if you want it near each other, you got to compensate us for the fact that you're taking it near each other. So Abaye says, Abaye says, no, this is the same thing as the Bukhar. My time, what's the reason? Because Bukhar kari achmana. The Torah calls the Yavam a Bukhar. And just like we just explained, it's obvious by a firstborn where the both portions are both one portion and it gets near each other, so to the Yavam. Now, where does the Torah call the Yavam a Bukhar? The Pasuk says, in Devar Mechafei Pasuk Vav, which the literal translation sounds as follows, that the firstborn which will be born from the union of the Yavam and the departed wife, his departed brother's wife, will be Yakum Hashem Achav, so that new child will take the place of the brother who had Achav Hames that died away, and his name will not be obliterated from the Jewish people because now he will have a child, albeit through his brother. However, that's not how the drasha is said. The words HaBachar Asher Teled, the Gemara actually darshins regarding the Yavam. Why is that so? Why is Bachar related to Yavam? Because actually the mitzvah, the primary mitzvah, is that the oldest brother, who that's generally the Bachar, has the mitzvah of doing Yibam. So when it says in the Pasuk, V'hoya HaBachar, it refers to the Yavam, who should ideally be the firstborn. Asher Teled, which that next word, Asher Teled, will give birth, actually comes to talk about that the widow will give birth, which excludes if she's an idleness that can't give birth, then there actually is no mitzvah of Yibam. So the way the pasuk is expounded is like the previous pasuk is saying, Yavama Yavayaleha, her Yavam should have relations with her. Then the pasuk says, which the pasuk we're talking about, V'haya Bachar, which one of the brothers should do Yibam with her? That's HaBachar, that's the firstborn. Asher Teled, in other words, what type of Yavama that could have children, which excludes an idleness, which a woman that can't have any children. So there it says, Abai, since a Yavam is called the Bachar, just like a Bachar gets both portions together, so too does a Yavam. Now Rava Amar, he disagrees. He says, Amakro, no, the Pasuk says, V'haya HaBachar, that the Bachar will be, yes, that's a reference to the Yavam, but the word V'haya connotes Kavayasege Bachar. His being is like a firstborn, meaning that he gets a double portion like a Bachar, but V'ein Chalukaseke Bachar, but his division is not like a Bachar. A firstborn gets both of them together, but a Yavam doesn't get both of them together. There he would have to compensate his brothers if he would want to have both of them near each other. Now the Gemara brings a story related to these halachas, that Ahudazav and Ara. There was a brother that had purchased a piece of land, a Mitzri de Beinashe, on the boundary right next to his father's field. Now, when his father passed away, and Kikopalgu, when they're coming to divide with his brothers, now the assets of his father's, so Amalehem, he said to his brothers, Peliguli Amitzroi, please divide our father's field by my boundary that I get, meaning I have a field boundarying our father's field. Give it to me that my part is going to be right next to my field. They could have it contiguous, which is really what the premise of the whole halacha b'metzer is built on, that you could have it contiguous, not that I have to go somewhere further in that field to get my part. So Amar Rabba says, k'goinzeh, like in such a case, k'ifin al midah sedayim. That's what's called, that we force the other brothers on the attribute of sedayim. Sedayim were people that they said, no, even though we're not going to lose anything and you're going to gain, but what's mine is mine, what's yours is yours, and we don't want to do things that are going to be better. What's called zenen of azelei chaser. We're here, this brother is going to gain. They're not going to lose because it doesn't make a difference for them where it is. They don't have fields near it. So for sure, we can force them that the brother's portion who has bought a field right there on the side, that he gets that his portion right next to his field. On that maskeb of Rabbi Yisav actually asks on Rabbi's opinion. He says, why? Amri le'achi, the brothers could tell him, malinon le'iluyam, for us, that portion that you want right next to your field, we view as very as a better part of the field. Kinichsi de Bar Merion, like the assets of the fields of the household of Bar Merion, who he had very high quality fields. Now Rashi points out that it would seem logical that this halacha Rav Yosef is only talking about what's called a stei beis abal, which is not an irrigated field, but it depends on rain. Where then the brothers could say that sometimes that part of the field gets more blessing than the other part of the field, and therefore they could say that no, we don't want to give you that part of the field unless you're willing to compensate us, because although it's right next to your field and for us it doesn't make a difference, but it does, because maybe your part of the field, which you want to take, is better than the other parts of the field, and therefore we don't want to just give it to you, rather we want to share the whole thing. Says the Gemara, the Hilchos like Rav Yosef, and Halacha is like Rav Yosef, where it's not considered Midas Adayim. They could say that maybe that part of the field is going to do better than the rest of the field. Another case similar. Tre Arasa, two lands that are Tre Nagri, that are in two canals. So let's say that we're talking about what's called a Stei Beis HaShlachim, which is an irrigated field. And there's two brothers that are going to divide these two fields. Now, each one of these fields has a canal which can water the field from it. Now, one brother bought a field right next to one of the fields. So he wants that now that they're divided into two fields, that his brother should give him the one that's closer to him. So I'm a rabbi. Rabbi says, So Rabbi says, for sure, this is a case where we force on regarding the attribute not to be like Sedalim, because here both lands have a canal. So therefore, why should it make a difference for them, this field or that field? So for sure, we force them to give the brother the one that's closer to him with that field with the canal, and they take the other field with the canal. On that masculine reason, Risa asks again on this opinion too. Why? Zimnin dahai madvil vahai loy madvil. Sometimes it could be that one field that the canal will be able to be watered from, and sometimes the other field will not be able to, because it's normative for a canal to dry up when the river where it's drawing its water source from will get diminished, and sometimes one canal will dry up and the other one will not dry up. So therefore the brother could still tell him, no, I want you to take your portion in both fields and I take my portion in both fields, and that's not considered midas sedayim, because maybe one field's river, the canal will dry up, another one not. So I want to have from both, just in case. And unless if you're going to compensate me and give me more money because of that, I'm not willing to, and that's not considered midas sedayim. And says the Gemara, it's not midas sedayim. He has a good point that they should have to share in both, unless the other brother who wants it by right next to his field compensates him. Another case, Tarti, if there's two lands that they have to divide, that is achad nagra, that's on one canal. Now, so you have one of the brothers who bought a field right next to one of the fields. And you have this canal that's on both sides, in the middle, where both fields are bordering that canal. And one brother will bought a field right next to one of the fields. That and Rav Yisrael, here Rav Yisrael agrees, could gain zek kovin al midas sedayim. So in such a case, then for sure we force against using the midas of sedayim, because since they're both dependent on the same canal, so they're really the same thing. What could one brother to say, well, I want this field and not that field? Here there's no point at all, nothing to litigate, and therefore they for sure have to give, in this case, the other brother, the field that borders his field that he bought. On that, Masik Labai, Abai still asks on this interpretation of Rav Yisrael. He says, why? Matziyama, the other brother, could say, Be'ina de afish arisi, I want that you should have a lot of sharecroppers working your fields. In other words, he could tell him, I prefer that you have two separate fields, not near each other, meaning one on one side of me and one on the other side of me, and me being in the middle, so that you should have to have a lot of sharecroppers, because you won't have it near each other, so you're going to have separate areas, so you're going to have more workers, so that my field should be better protected. Because if you're going to take it right next to you, so then you're going to have only a certain amount that you have to cover, you'll have less workers. But if you're going to take the one on the other side of the river, I'm going to take the one on this side of the river next to you, I'm going to be surrounded, sandwiched between your fields on either sides, I'll be better protected. So therefore, there is a reason why I want this field, and it's not considered midas sedayim. And therefore, unless you want to compensate me, I'm not willing to let you necessarily take this yourself, and I want to split it with you. On that, says the Gemara, the halacha is Rav Yosef. No, the halacha is still Rav Yosef, because afushi lav milsi. That's not significant of a case to claim where you want to be surrounded by him to have him having more sharecroppers that you better protect it. That's not a valid claim. And therefore, halacha is like Rav Yosef, it is going to be considered kreva midas sedayim, and that brother gets the field that's next to his previously purchased field. Now, the Gemara brings one more case on the top of the Gimel Aleph. If there's a field of two brothers that Chad Gisa Nigra. One side, one edge of that field has a canal running by it. The Chad Gisa Nahar on the other side has a river. So the way Rashi describes the case is if there's a river on the eastern side and there's a canal on the northern side. So how do you divide it over there? And that says the Gemara Palginle Bekarnozol, or as other Gersoyas have it in other places in Shas, Bekarnozol, which is really a contraction of those two words, of Karnazol, go by the corners. Now the reason for this is as follows. A river is better than a canal. It is the source, whereas a canal is just a derivative from that. Moreover, whatever part of the field is closer to water is better than what is distance from the water. So the problem is as follows. If the field is going to be divided from the north to the south, it's going to come out that the entire river is going to belong to one of them, and the second one is only going to have a half of the canal on the northern side. Now, and the problem with that is sometimes, although you can have a canal, but sometimes it dries up. If it's going to be divided from east to west, so one of them is going to have half the river on the eastern side, and he's going to have the entire canal on his northern side, and the second one's only going to have the river on the eastern side. So therefore, you divide it into eight parts, that each one's going to have an equal share near the river and near the canal. And when one is going to be far, the other one's going to also have an area that's far, as Rashi has this picture where you see that on the eastern side is the river, on the northern side is this canal, and that you see the Reish and Shin, you have Reuben and Shimon, so that if you're going by the corners, you're going to cut everything into triangles where each thing is cut into two corners, that you're going to have Reuben and Shimon are going to have equal parts right next to the river. Reuben and Shimon are going to have equal parts by the Nigra, by the canal. And so too, they're going to both have two parts by the Darim and by the Ma'ariv, which are equidistant to the distance of the river and to the canal. That's how you divide it so that each one gets a fair share in this field to have both of the canal and of the river.